you take your seats, go ahead and take your Bibles and open up the New Testament. We're going to 2 Corinthians this morning. That's where we're going to be. Thanks for getting here and venturing out into the cold winter springs winter today. A little bit chilly. You had to come uphill in the snow to get here, and you got to go uphill to go home in the snow. But we are glad that you're with us today. Our kids are in the room this morning. Next week, you read about it. Next week is our Pastor Powell celebration from the Christmas holidays on. Our kids had the opportunity, if they wanted to participate, we gave them some booklets and they were taking notes and working on prayer guides and things like that, and celebrating what we call Pastor's Pals, learning to worship and engage in worship in church. Next Sunday, as you heard in the announcement, is our play day with them. It's our party day. If you turn in your booklet, and if you haven't, give that to Leanne. But Richard, Leanne, Michael, and I are taking you guys, and we're going to go out, and we're going to go eat lunch at Huey Magoo's right down the road here, and we're going to eat, and we're going to feed you till you're full, and then we're going to walk down a couple doors to Rustic Journeys, and we're going to sit down at Rustic Journeys, and we're going to create great works of art and kind of put on our creative hats and see what we can do, and we're going to have a great time together doing that and just kind of celebrating. Moms and dads, we will notify you when we're ready for you to come and get your children, or we'll just leave them there. It's up to you. But no, we'll bring them back. We'll make sure they get back. But we will let you know. We don't have really a time to wrap up yet. It depends on how long it takes us to create these great works of art that we're going to be creating. And so that's what we're going to be doing next Sunday. And so we're going to celebrate, just so you guys know, what our kids have done. They've done a great job, and they've worked hard. So today, we're going to continue our series entitled There, built upon the idea that where we are now is not where we're supposed to stay. God is going to move us there, and when we get there, we discover that's the now that we're supposed to live in, be obedient in. And then God's going to move us to the next there, because we're always on a journey, we're always moving forward. As we've started a new year, this has been the series. This is what we've been talking about, of how do we move forward in our journey of faith. And we've been revolving around some big ideas about truth and how that works, but then also how do we apply it to our lives? How does that look as we kind of live day to day, moment to moment? And how do we make sure that our faith fits in the world that we find ourselves in? And it really does. It does work in the world that we live in. And so this morning, we're going to talk about swallowing nails and spitting out corkscrews. Swallowing nails and spitting out corkscrews. If you have your worship flyer, you can kind of see the outline. If you didn't get one, we have those in the back, or we haven't run out, I'm not sure. We have an app, and so you open the app up, the outline is going to be there. But we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read you verses 12 through 15. When I was out for a few weeks during the COVID days, as Christmas came along, we were kind of covering some things, and had some folks fill in for me, and we had to do a couple different things because I was out of pocket. And this is one of the studies that was in this series that, as I was kind of had to revamp it as we went, because it kind of got our dates and our calendaring and planning off, and that's not a big deal. But I almost let this one kind of fall off of the docket. I thought to myself, you know, maybe we don't want to do this one, and we'll just kind of leave this one away. But based upon kind of where we've been and what's going on, I decided to bring it back into the mix and just kind of continue on and make sure that we did it, because I think there's some things in here that we need to remember about how do we move forward in this journey that God has called us to. It's a big deal. It's important, and I want to make sure that we all get it right. And so if you have your Bibles open and leave them open, we're going to look back at them. Let me begin reading to you in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians, Paul's letter to Corinth, the church at Corinth, that says this: "And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground out from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." In the first week of the series, I said you can't go back and change your beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. In other words, you can't go backwards. There are no redos. There's no do-overs. We are all caught up in the things that have happened in the past, and sometimes people get trapped there. We can't go back and undo those. But we do start there, and we move forward from where we are now, forward from where we have been, forward from the past that either has defined us or shaped us, but we move forward looking to move toward an ending, and hopefully we live the ending that God has created for us. And I shared with you that if you're not living by the Word, you're living apart from the Word. It's a choice we make. It is a choice. It is a clear-cut choice. It's a choice that we make, and that's how we decide that we're going to live our lives in the world around us. Now, last week, we talked about the fact that two thoughts can't occupy the same space in your brain. In other words, you're not that good at multitasking. The thought that is there is the one that you choose, and it's the one that you act upon. You ever been upset, never been angry? You chose to hold on to that thought long enough to put that thought into action, and you took forward, you took the next step with that. Or had you replaced that thought and tried to think, okay, well, I'm not going to hold on to that anger, I'm going to do something else, you would have reacted differently. We take steps forward based upon what it is we're thinking about. And I know that a lot of us think, I can process more than one thing at a time. No, you can't, because now the idea that you're processing is whether you can process more than one thing at a time. I mean, we get consumed with the idea that's in front of us at the time. And so we get to choose whether or not we're going to think about those things that God tells us to think about. And we looked at that list last week. What are we going to focus our minds on? Paul wrote, think on these things. And how do we do that? And how do we make that work? Because again, where you are thinking, how you're thinking, helps you move forward in your journey of faith. And so today, we're going to move forward another step. And we're going to look at some things that I hope will remind us that we do live in a world where the truth does matter and truth is important. The title, by the way, is an old Southern saying. Let me use it for you in a sentence. They're so crooked that if they swallowed a nail, they'd spit up a corkscrew. It's that idea that you are just crooked and you're a deceiver and you're not what you say that you are. A few years ago, a 23-year-old man was sentenced to prison for impersonating a physician at two different California hospitals. Apparently, he walked the hall wearing a white lab coat with a stethoscope around his neck. People would ask him questions. He would give them answers. He even would walk into patients' rooms and write orders for those patients. But he wasn't a doctor at all, and eventually he got caught and exposed as a fraud. Here in our own state, an 18-year-old man in Palm Beach County was arrested after opening a medical clinic and posing as a doctor. Eventually, he was arrested because an undercover agent made an appointment and had a physical there. He is currently serving time in a federal penitentiary. A man in South Carolina treated over 500 elderly patients. And as he treated these senior citizens as a doctor and a physician, he billed Medicare and Medicaid, only to be caught and exposed. He didn't have a medical degree. He wasn't a doctor at all. He was a fraud. And maybe you've heard of one of the most notorious frauds of all time, Frank Abagnale. He is a security consultant, or has worked as a security consultant for the FBI. There was a movie made about him that was kind of fictionalized, but it was based upon his life, called Catch Me If You Can. He has served time in prison in France, Sweden, and the United States. Over the course of his lifetime, he's had eight different identities. He has been a pilot, a lawyer, a physician, and a federal prison agent. He forged checks worth millions of dollars, and he was so good at it, the FBI actually has employed him to learn how to spot forgers just like himself. So in other words, he's parlayed his deceit into a career. But again, a fraud. Someone who appeared to be one thing and was something else. Interesting. They're stories, but heartbreaking. How would you like to have been a patient of the doctor in South Florida? How would you like to have been a patient in the hospital in California as a doctor roamed the hallway, walked into your room, wrote orders that someone else followed and treated you? How would you like to be a person who had a family member or the person that was treated by the doctor in South Carolina who didn't have a medical degree and yet gave you the things that you needed to supposedly get well or stay healthy? Frauds. Heartbreaking for those that were victims of them, but also tragic that someone would take the time to pose as something that they would not, that they are not, to convince someone that they had value or worth or that they were needed. The world that we live in is a world that we need to make sure that we take the time to kick the tires, if you will, look at the details, check the fine print. We have to do that in the world that we live in. We know that. But let me give you something that I haven't given you yet this year. It's not a main point, but it's an entrance ramp. It gets us into the passage, if you will, a background kind of thing. The first one of the year, and the entrance ramp is simply this: stranger danger. Stranger danger. Parents use this word, these two words, with their kids sometimes. Beware of a stranger. Stranger danger. You know, if you don't know them, you know, be wise as you get close to them. Because it begs the answer to the question, does the person being deceived know they're being deceived? And the answer is probably not. Because if you knew, you wouldn't be deceived. And so when someone's being deceived, they're not aware of it. And it illustrates why we need to be so careful. There is a truth that runs in most of our lives, and that we have to remember that common sense doesn't grow in everyone's gardens. And sometimes, while we think that we're sharp enough not to get sucked in, we're not. Sometimes when we think that we got it together, we don't. And sometimes we think that we're above that. Well, we're not, because sometimes we can be fooled, and there's always someone out there who wants to fool us. Matter of fact, deceit is mentioned over 40 times in the New Testament. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about it. He warned in verse 4 or 5 of Matthew 24 that false messiahs would come claiming to be Christ, and he was accused of that as he walked and taught on earth. He also said that these same false prophets would demonstrate convincing signs and wonders. Don't be deceived. They are looking to fool you. They want you to think that they are something that they're not. In Acts 20:29, Paul warns that there will be savage wolves that will be among you, and they will not spare the flock, but they're going to pretend to be servants of God. And then in verse 31 of the same chapter, he says, so be on your guard. And the passage that we have today speaks to the same thing. And as Paul writes, you have to understand that the spiritual counterfeits didn't disappear at the end of the first century. The spiritual counterfeits are still out there today. And we live in a world where we have to remember that the counterfeits don't work for God, they work for Satan. And Satan loves to disrupt with false doctrine, watered-down half-truths, and would do anything to disrupt the maturity and growth of someone who wants to be a follower of Christ. Jesus, again speaking, reminds us that all counterfeits are based on one thing, a lie. In John 8:44, he says this about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. That's how Jesus describes Satan. And lies are his native language. That's what he does. Another southern saying that might fit here is, beware of those whose cornbread ain't done in the middle. You ever had a piece of cornbread and it looked really good on the outside? It had that golden crust and you go, man, this is going to be good. And you take a bite into it and all of a sudden in the middle it's kind of just doughy and not done. You go, hmm. That's Hebrew for yuck. Yeah, you always want to be aware that what you see on the outside may not be what really happens on the inside. And the closer we get to the end of the age, whenever the end of the age is, you know, Jesus said these are things that will happen. The world will become this way. It's the same old question, right? Are we in the end times? We are a day closer than we were yesterday. All I can tell you. We're a day closer to the end than we were in the first century. We're days closer. I mean, we're always moving forward through time, and so these are things that apply to our life in the here and now, just like they did as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. But here's what you can be sure of. Wherever there's chaos, wherever there's anxiety, wherever there's trouble, wherever there's worry, there's always someone who wants to step up and tell you what to do and how to handle it. And you have to decide, are the things that they're saying true? Is what they're saying right? Is there value in what they're saying? Because they're going to offer you an answer. And so how do you learn to tell the difference between the fake and the real? And that's where we kind of put our focus for a minute or two today, and we're going to go back into the passage. And so if you have your outline, you can see what we're going to talk about. The first one is truth. You can either recognize the fact that as you're moving through the world and you're trying to separate between the fake and the real, you're either dealing with someone who has no truth or they know truth. no truth, or they know truth. In other words, they're operating their lives on a truth that they have created themselves, or they're operating their lives on the truth based in God's word. Look back at the passage, verse 12. And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground out from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. Paul's saying, I don't intend to change or stop what I'm doing because there's people out there who want to deceive you. In other words, I'm going to work harder than ever to make sure that you understand that what they're saying is not true. They're claiming to be one thing. They're not. They're leeches. They're parasites. They're not telling you the truth. They're using up your resources or living off your people. They're deceiving you. And they're claiming to do it just like I'm doing it. That's not the case. And so he is reminding them again that he is operating out of truth and there's something bigger going on and they need to be aware of it. And Paul says, I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to stop doing what it is that I do. Truth matters. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. I say it to you again. Truth matters in the world that we live in today. And we live in a world where people want to create their own truth. And you can operate all you want out of your own truth, but at the end of the day, if you've created that truth, it's just wrong. See, you don't want to live in a world with truth I've created, do you? I mean, you don't want to live in a world according to Jeff. That was a little too boisterous. I have a microphone. I might be able to convince maybe you. I mean, I can make it sound good. I can make you promises. You know, I can say, hey, today I'm going to give you 3 free sins. I mean, I can tell you a whole lot of stuff that I just can't offer you. And as good as it would sound, you can't walk out this door and say, I want to live in a world that, according to Jeff's truth. Because my truth gets you nowhere. Not going to do you any good. But here's the flip side of that. I don't want to live in a world where I live off your truth either. It's not that I don't like you. Most of you clean up pretty good. You're here. You're bundled up today. You came out in the snow to get here this morning, and I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, even with all of that effort, I don't want to live in a world based on the truth that you created. Sure. Because I don't trust you that much. Oh, I know what you really are because you're just like I am at the core. You're broken and bent, and you're a sinner. And you don't know how to create truth that lasts. And so the question is, so whose truth are we going to choose to live on? Is it going to be some talking head that we hear on television? Is it going to be some philosopher that we read? Are we going to base our lives on the truth of God's word? Because don't kid yourself. If you don't know the truth of God's word, then you're going to find some truth to live your life based on. Everyone does. And so if you meet someone who doesn't know God, then they're living with their own truth. And if you ever want to have an interesting conversation with someone, have this conversation. If they say they know God, say, well, tell me about the God you know. And you might discover that they don't know God like you do. Or maybe they know God better than you. But it's a good conversation to have because you have to know, you have to understand that the world we live in, there's truth out there. But there's only one truth that lasts and one truth that matters. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That means there's really only one way. So in the series, as we talk about moving forward, we're talking about making sure that we stay on the path that he has for us. This family had been relaxing, taking their vacation here in the state of Florida with their 10-year-old son. Robert and Angela Berry are here, and they were getting ready to go back to Ohio, and as they got ready to return to the airport, a young girl staying at the Berry's hotel showed up at the room and gave their son a teddy bear as a gift. This is a girl that he had met, played in the pool with. They kind of got to know each other a little bit. The girl gave him a gift, and the parents said, thank you, and it was very sweet, and they went back to OIA to go back to Ohio. And as they were going through OIA and they put the teddy bear on the x-ray machine, they stopped the line for a minute and noticed that inside the teddy bear there was the outline of a gun. And so as TSA then did what TSA does, they opened up this teddy bear and found a loaded .22 caliber handgun stuffed inside the animal. Now as they did a deeper dive and as police began to investigate, this was a handgun that was stolen in 1996. It had just now shown up for the very first time at OIA inside a teddy bear that was a gift from a little girl. And so the investigation has continued to go on and continues to go on to this day, because now then, why did the girl give him the bear? Did the parents of the girl know that the gun was in there? The boy, the Berries, they're back in Ohio. They had nothing to do with it other than the fact that they went through the line and got caught with this bear. The investigation as to what caused that gun to be in the bear is an ongoing kind of thing, but the statement that they made out of Miami-Dade County was that you just can't be too careful, and no matter how innocent people seem or how innocent their belongings may appear, you do need to know what's going on in the inside. That's spiritual, by the way. I mean, you meet a lot of people that they look good, they sound good, they clean up pretty good, they smell nice, and they appear, they hit all the boxes. Boom, 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 boom. But what matters is what's inside. And the reality is that for you and I have nothing to say to you today if I'm not going to base my life on truth, the truth of God's word. You trust me to do that, and I'll do my best to do that. But when you're dealing with folks and you're trying to navigate in a way that's going to honor God, truth does matter. And so you've got to learn to recognize truth. Where do you find it? In God's word. Which brings us to the second thing. You can either know God or know God. Either you're living your life with no God or you know God. And while we were just talking about that, let me give you the verse. It says, "For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ." See, the more that we recognize God's truth, the more easily we recognize the counterfeit. One of the problems or the struggles that we have is that we know spiritual stuff, but sometimes we're not real good about really knowing what the Bible says, you know, what the Bible really means. You know, as I joke with people sometimes, and if it's the right environment, though, someone will say, "Well, what's your favorite Bible verse?" And I'll say, Romans 1:1, "When in Rome, do as the Romans do." But that's not in the Bible. Okay, it's just a joke. It's not real. It's not really my favorite. I mean, I'll say that, hopefully, and if the crowd knows me, they know that that's just a joke, and then we go on and we continue the conversation. But, you know, there's some things that sometimes we think, well, that's got to be in Scripture, but maybe it's not. You know, when the Lord closes the door, he opens the window. Scripture, right? No. Sound of Music, yes. And how many people live their life looking for an open window? And we take these ideas sometimes and we kind of incorporate them into our lives and we say, oh gosh, well, this has got to be, this is scriptural. And then someone presses you and says, "Are you sure?" And you think back in your head, you're like, "Where's that at? I got to pull it back. I don't have it." And you have this sudden moment where you realize you're not so sure. And in that moment, you're kind of stuck. Because now you're afraid to defend what you believed. Because you're not sure that it had anything to do with God. Tough place to be. And so we just got to get to know God better. And there's no shortcuts to that. I mean, we have to be able to spend time with him. You have to spend time in his word. You have to spend time talking with him. And the reason is because, and go back to the verse again, Paul says, there are people who are masquerading out there as followers of Christ. There are people who are masquerading as people who are speaking for Christ, but they're not. And notice the word that he uses there, because it's important to make sure you understand it. Masquerading. In other words, on purpose, they are presenting themselves like this. He's getting to the intent. Their intent is to deceive you. They are masquerading. It's an intentional act that they're doing. They're trying to fool you. They're not what they say they are. They have put on a facade, an outfit, a uniform, a mask. They are masquerading as this to deceive you. It's not an innocent kind of thing where, you know, it's somebody that didn't know any better. No, these people know better. They are going out of their way to do that. So Paul kind of hones in on a false teacher, not saying that they're teaching out of ignorance. He's saying they're teaching it on purpose. And we're reminded then that to recognize what is false and not real, we have to know God. Because we get caught up in the world's philosophy. And we just think, you know, sometimes the world thinks anything goes. We just got to let it go. But see, Jesus, he didn't let it go. He wasn't afraid to talk about truth. We just talked about this with the adults in Sunrise Bible Study. The way that we say things, it matters. The way that we communicate truth matters. And we have to learn to do it well, but we also have to learn to do it. See, the world that we live in, we hear the word a lot, tolerance. Well, you tolerate a lot, but it doesn't mean you accept it as truth. You tolerate a lot, but you don't accept it as right. And there's a difference in the two words. They're not interchangeable. And we have to understand that in the world that we live in, there are some times that you do have to speak up. There's some times that you do have to speak up for the things of God, because we live in a world that if they don't know God, there's no God. And they're making it up as they go, and they're living any way they want. Jesus was known for using some words sometimes when speaking back to those that were trying to deceive. Remember how he talked to the Pharisees in Matthew 23? He called them snakes and vipers. That's not a term of endearment. It wasn't a compliment. But snakes and vipers wasn't enough. He said, you're like dead men's tombs full of rotting bones. And then he added, filled with an awful stench. I mean, Jesus basically was saying, you stink. You're stinking it up. You're crypt stinking it up. I mean, that's what you're doing. That's who you are. That's what you're teaching, and that's what people are hearing, and you're stinking it up. Again, Jesus wasn't making friends at that moment, but he was speaking truth. And he did it with style, no doubt about it. But here's what you have to remember, and it becomes so important. You speak truth in a way that honors God. Sometimes we don't do that. We like to be right, but we're right in the wrong way. And if we're right in the wrong way, it loses the impact. And so we have to learn to navigate the world that we live in, and so we have to know God well enough to be able to do that. And so what do? We'll get to know God better. The third thing I want you to see, and we come back to God's Word again, know Word or know the Word. Now, we talked about this week one, so we won't spend a whole lot of time here, but in verse 14, it says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. See, the most dangerous form that Satan comes to us in is an angel of light. When he comes in like a roaring lion, he's scary, but we recognize that. If there's a lion outside your door, what are you going to do? You close the door. Makes sense. See, if the devil knocks on your door in the morning and he says, good morning, I'm Satan, good to see you, and I'm here today, and he takes off his top hat and says, I'm here to ruin your life. I want to trip you up. I want to destroy all your relationships. I want to fill you with hatred, and I want you to fill you with violence, and I just want to really do anything I can to mess up your day. Can I come in? See, common sense says, no, you're not coming in. We would even get King James. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because we think King James sometimes works better. But if Satan shows up and he says this, oh, good morning, I'm your friend. Live right down the street. I'm here to help you. Matter of fact, I want to make your life good. And I have what you need. And not only do I have what you need, but you're going to like it. Because it's new and it's improved. And gosh, I want you to be fulfilled. I want it to be exciting. I want you to be happy. I just want to come and I want to bring you joy. Can I come in? And you think to yourself, man, that's better than any infomercial I heard last night in the middle of the night. You come right on in. Yeah, come on in. Sit down. Can I give you some coffee? That's Satan. Because he's Satan so good, he skews truth just a little bit. See, because if Satan was the Satan that we see in a horror flick, We recognize that, right? That's why those commercials are so funny when they put those people in those horror movies and they make the wrong choices, you know, and that's an insurance commercial. Like, oh, no, we're going to run into the room. Let's run into the barn with all the chainsaws hanging there. Great idea. And one goes, should we be getting in the car and leaving? No, no, let's go in there. And the guy comes out with the mask and is like, okay. I mean, see, we recognize that. If you're talking to me and your head goes 360 degrees, I'm going to recognize that. I'm going to give you some space. Just saying. But Satan, nah, angel of light, that's a little tougher. Have you ever bothered to ask yourself the question, how does Satan present himself as an angel of light? Well, let me let you in on a little bit of truth. The devil is probably a better theologian than you are. See, when we talk about knowing God's word, let me tell you something. Satan knows God's word. Well, he's not going to live by it. He doesn't want you to live by it. But he knows it well enough to skew it just enough where you're not sure. It happens all the time. You're flipping the dial, especially with religious programming. Whew. You've been listening and go, well, that sounds really good. And all of a sudden you hear something and go, what? What did they just say? But see, you can't really rewind it, so you're not really sure. And you're like, I'm not sure that was right. And you begin thinking, maybe I didn't hear that right. But again, Satan's real good at just skewing things just a little bit. Someone has called him the theologian of the damned. And the only way that you know, the only way that you can whittle your way through that is you have to understand that you've got to know God's word. You've got to spend time in God's word. If you don't, you won't know, which brings us to the last thing. You can either live life with no courage or you can know courage. What is one of the most frequently heard things in the Bible? Don't be afraid. Because God knows that the world that we live in sometimes can scare us and become scary. And you've been scared over the past couple of years? Of course. Because we live through an era of history that most of us have never lived through before. Face things that we thought, it's never going to happen to us. Not here. No, no. You've needed courage. Verse 15b, the end of it, says simply this. Their end will be what their actions deserve. See, Paul says their end is inevitable. Their end will correspond to their deeds. In other words, they're going to fall victim to their own lies. What happens is that they lose their ability to tell truth from evil, and they fall victim to their own errors. You know, I don't get frightened of people who I know are trying to trick me. You know, if you watch a magician on stage, that magician is doing something, but he's tricking you. You know it. And if you're a fan of magic, the art of magic, then you're aware that there's a magician there. And you try to see what the trick is, you know, what the sleight of hand is, what that thing is, because you know that there's a way that they're doing that. And some of you know Tony Brent, a friend of ours, and Tony's been with us on a number of occasions. And Tony's a great magician, and he's very generous and is always willing to help and jump in. As much fun as he is to watch, I've seen him so many different times now, but I'm always amazed when he does something I've never seen before, and I go, how did he do that? See, because I know Tony, and Tony's a follower of God, and Tony loves Jesus, and he's a great guy, but I know at the end of the day, you know, what he's doing, he just fooled me. That doesn't scare me. What scares me is someone who believes their lies to the point where they think it's true. See, what scares me is someone who believes the stuff that they've kind of been doing so long that it becomes a reality that they function out of. You ever meet somebody and go, how can they think that? But they do, and you say, we're not even thinking on the same planet anymore because their worldview is so skewed because they've missed out on the things that we've been talking about. They don't know God. They don't know his word. And so they've chosen now to live their life differently. And because they've lived on their own truth and they developed their own truth now, they believe it to be real. And they're just as passionate about it as you are about following God. Those are the moments that it gets a little bit more frightening. And we're supposed to have courage because at the end of the day, you say, well, God, are you ever going to balance the books? The answer is yes, he is. But our job is to touch and change the world with the love of Christ and also recognize that we've got to learn to look with the lens that God gives us, because if we don't, we find ourselves in trouble. Back not too long ago, a public zoo in Beijing, China, had to shut down due to an unusual problem. Visitors discovered that the zoo's lion was actually a dog posing as a lion. The fraud came to light when a mother and her young child were looking at the lion, and the lion barked. The outraged mother went to the front of the zoo and demanded her money back, said, "The zoo is cheating us. I paid good money for the tickets, and now I feel defrauded because the animal was supposed to be an African lion." African lions, if you didn't know, don't bark. Zookeepers admitted that the so-called lion was actually a Tibetan mastiff, a large dog with a brown coat. And they also went on to admit that there were other zoo animals that had been mislabeled. Apparently, there was a white fox in the leopard's den. And there was another dog that was being passed off as a wolf. The staff also had swapped out two snakes at the reptile house with two giant sea cucumbers. They offered the following excuse: the zoo really did own a lion, but the lion was away at a breeding facility. And then they explained that the dog was in the lion's pen because of safety reasons. And doing their best to get their footing and look somehow better than they should have been, they finally said, "Well, we're doing our best in tough economic times." But just like a zoo was trying to pass off a dog as a lion, so false teachers, media, cults, celebrities try to pass off falsehoods as truths. And unless you look with a spiritual eye, you might miss it. And it takes courage to see it, and it takes courage to respond to it. And so let me give you the now what. What do you do with these kind of ideas, and how do you plug it into your life? And my suggestion to you would be to do your best to live your life each day and live your life with truth. Christ at the heart of what you're doing, and live your life with truth. In other words, with truth, you see it, you say it, and you live it. You see it, you say it, and you live it. See it. Look for what God is doing. Look for how God is working. Look at what he's showing you. And really see how God is impacting the world around you. But look with a purpose and a spiritual lens to really kind of see those things of God. Because it's not necessarily your default. It's not the natural thing that you do. Sometimes you have to take a deeper look to really see what God is doing in the midst of whatever it is that the whole world sees. See it. Say it. In other words, be someone that's going to offer encouragement and hope in a world where there's so many different things that people are being bombarded with that it overwhelms them and confuses them. But what you say by encouragement and hope is make sure that it's based upon the promises and the praises that we find in God's Word. In other words, don't promise something that you or God can't or is not planning on delivering. That's not your job. But be encouraging and be hopeful and help people discover that there is some way to build their life that will help them move through whatever it is they're going through. And then when I say live it, in other words, our job is to bless others, to love others, to share who we are and who he is with others. Why do you do that? How can you do that? Well, you do it because of who he is. You do it because of what he's done for you. You do it because he has placed you in that moment, and sometimes we forget that. See, wherever we are is a moment that God knew we would be in. He has placed us there for a reason. And your role as a follower of God is that you become that beacon, that outpost of truth in that place, in that moment. That means that you're not there by accident. It means that you have a reason for being there. It means that there's a purpose for you being there. See, we spend so much time worrying about how bad things are, that the world's bad, that we forget that we're called and we're supposed to make it better. Remember the prayer that we're supposed to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we pray that we would create that little bit of heaven, a glimpse of heaven here. God's kingdom at work around us. And in a world that needs to know truth. In a world that doesn't always get it right. We can have the security of knowing that we can know truth. And we can get it right. And we can keep moving forward in our journey of faith. Let's pray together. God, help us to see it and say it and live it. Help us to be that kind of person that is willing to step up and step into a world that sometimes doesn't value truth like it should. Lord, there are some who are here or some who are watching online, either live or be watching later. And they've never made that decision to believe and trust and follow, and I pray that this would be the day that they would decide. Before they leave this place this morning, I pray that they would ask someone, share with us a way to contact them and say, I want to follow Jesus. If they're watching online, they can just stop the feed right now and send us an email and say, hey, this is a decision I need to make. I want to make sure I get this right. And we would be just thrilled and honored to be able to come alongside them and help them understand the choice and the decision they're making. But Lord, there's others who have made the decision to believe and trust and follow. We got that right, and we're just trying to move forward in our faith. But sometimes it gets really confusing because there's so much clutter in the world around us, and there's so many things that have been bombarding our minds and hearts, and we get overwhelmed, and we don't know what to believe. Help us to anchor our lives to you. Help us to know you so well that we see truth so much more clearly. Lord, help us to be willing to have the courage to move out into the world that desperately needs to know you. And help us to remind them that there is no better calling, no better thing they can do than to trust you. And as we do that, we will discover that our life looks a little bit different. And we'll discover that we're changing our world one person at a time. But we'll also discover that we're moving forward in our faith. And we'll find that it's an adventure we're taking. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.